Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Wednesday, November 23rd, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, it's the last day before Thanksgiving. Everybody's getting ready to cook the big meal on Thursday and have the feast. We're talking baseball one last time before the holiday. The hot stove is on, and it's heating up. Before we put a turkey in the hot stove, we're gonna talk about what's going on in the league, and I guess the leadoff story, the big sort of topic that everybody's watching is Aaron Judge in San Francisco. He was scheduled to meet yesterday with the Giants. They're sort of the hometown favorite to land their hometown guy Judge, but you got to consider the Yankees still the favorite. To re-sign Judge, as they said that they would pay any price to have him back. What do you think the chances are that Judge jumps ship and goes back to the West Coast?
Yeah, I think they're better than 50-50, Joe. I think the Giants, you know, had a down season last year. What, after winning, 106, 107 games the year before? You know, the attendance was off a little bit. And they need some offense, and you know, Judge would certainly provide that. And like you said, he's a hometown guy. He's, you know, a West Coast guy, and I love the video of him that a fan captured of him going through the you know, picking up his bags at the San Francisco airport. You know, and asking Aaron Judge, what are you doing here in San Francisco? And Judge is trying to, you know, sneak away. But when you're 6'7" and like the prime of free agent, baseball's prime free agent this winter, it's hard to be inconspicuous.
Yeah, he's easily the guy that everybody wants to spot in the airport. And he won't be able to sneak around the country much at all during this period until he announces his intentions. And that could be, you know, sometime around the winter meetings there. What do you think the chances are that they leave the winter meetings the first week of December there with Judge's destiny determined?
Yeah, I think, you know, most guys want to get this done as early as possible. Players, you know, so there's not that uncertainty that you're not kind of in limbo going into January. So I think there's a very good chance, you know, we find out at the winter meetings or just before the winter meetings, you know, where Judge is going to be playing next year.
Yeah, I mean, not just for Judge's sake and for the teams involved, but also for the other free agents. I mean, Judge is pretty much going to not necessarily set the market because his contract is going to be so huge. But, you know, once his contract is out of the way and everything is known there, then all the other pieces and parts can start to move around and you know, the next sort of tier of free agents can figure out where they're going to go and where the opportunities are. So I think once the big dog, once the lead dog like that makes his determination and winds up where he's going, it's going to make things move a lot faster in free agency, and it'll filter down to, you know, even some of the smaller market teams can start making their moves. Hint, hint, Guardians. If there are signings to be had at that point.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get that one or two big moves out of the way, and you know, kind of frees up the rest of the market.
Speaking of markets, you heard a rumor, and have been following, and we have some speculation on some moves possible out of Seattle.
Yeah, you know, Jerry DePoto was interviewed the other day said he's looking for a second baseman, and he has been talking to teams on the trade front. And who better to talk to if you're looking for a middle infielder than the Guardians?
Yeah, the Guardians just recently acquired Juan Brito in a trade from the Rockies for Nolan Jones, one of their former top picks and, you know, top prospects. Brito, you know, a switch hitting middle infielder, mostly second base experience, who, you know, would have been exposed to the Rule 5 draft. It doesn't really have a lot of experience above single A, but is ready to sort of play at that next level next season. Maybe he's a trade chip. And then we also talked about guys who are actually, you know, already on the roster or ready to be on the active roster at some point during the season. You know, guys like maybe a Brian Rocchio or a Tyler Freeman. You know, what do you think the chances are that the Guardians deal a prospect here?
Yeah, I think they'd be more than willing to, Joe. But is it enough to? Is that what the Mariners are looking for? Do they want a prospect? Do they want a you know, a proven big league guy? Or you know what? I'm sure they'd like some control over this guy. And you know, with Freeman and a guy like Owen Miller or Gabriel Arias, even Angel Martinez. I mean, it's a little minors guy, but still, you know, they'd have plenty of control. But it probably, you know, I would think, you know, it all depends. You know, I'm sure they would ask. Seattle would ask for, you know, Andrés Giménez. That's where they'd like to start the conversation. If you know, if they're willing to, what piece they're willing to give up and send to Cleveland.
Yeah, and you know, we spoke about what Cleveland's biggest need would be, and it would be somebody like a Ty France. Who had a tremendous season for the Mariners last year. Would they be willing to part with a piece like that? You know, depending on what they have at first base in their minor league system, I think, you know, if Giménez is the asking price from Cleveland, then Ty France would be, you know, what they would want in return. You know, I could add in players and you know, prospects and wheel and deal and make this work where I could actually convince you and turn you around to believing that trading Giménez at this time might actually be the best thing they could do. But I don't think that it's the most likely scenario.
I don't think Andrés Giménez is going anywhere, not after the season he had. But, you know, it's just, you know, you have to start somewhere in a trade conversation. And you might as well, you know, shoot for the highest guy on the board. But, you know, Cleveland certainly has enough, you know, enough talent. I think that would entice a team, that would entice Seattle. But maybe they take a chance on a Freeman packaged with a couple other guys, maybe a pitcher or, something along those lines where, you know, it makes sense, you know, and the as long as Cleveland is getting back some offense or getting back filling a need. I don't know what Seattle's catching situation looks like, or like you said, Ty France, you know, that would certainly help their offensive production.
Yeah, that's the area that they need to address the most. Speaking of trades, yesterday we saw the Angels get Hunter Renfro. In a deal, they'd already previously added Gio Urshela. They've signed some pitching in the offseason. So the Angels are and earlier in the offseason, they already announced a $33 million deal for a year for Shohei Ohtani. So they're making some moves. I guess this is get everybody excited about the Angels now, because you know, by May or June, they're not going to be a very exciting team to watch anyways.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the team is for sale. You know, this is, I think, this will be Ohtani's last year before he's a free agent or he can opt out of that contract. And, you know, he wasn't very happy at the end of this past season. He, you know, with the team's performance, you know, so, you know, I would think they're trying to, you know, restructure that team where it can be competitive, you know, in a very tough AL West, you know, with Seattle kind of rising and Houston being dominant, you know, the World Series champ, you know, they've got to make some noise. They've gone way too long with two of the best players in baseball in Trout and Ohtani, and not doing anything. And so they've got to make some moves here. You know, Renfro is an interesting guy to me, Joe. He's played for five different teams already. He's not a free agent until 2024. And this guy hit 29 home runs last year for Milwaukee. So I wonder why do you think a guy like that moves so much? That's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on it either. It's, you know, maybe it's maybe some sort of work ethic thing, or you know, something with the managers in each spot. It's almost like the Framil Reyes situation. I mean, he had all that potential to hit for power, and you know, he did for a season or two, but maybe it was like the day to day stuff that he wasn't doing that sort of stood out and made him a guy that was expendable. And you know, maybe because there's enough there with Hunter Renfro to be attractive to a franchise to make you want to sort of, you know, invest something in him and have him around. I think the Angels, you know, solved a problem there, getting, you know, a guy who sort of fits the profile for what they need in the outfield there. But, you know, who knows if it's going to work out for them.
Yeah, so it's just one of, you know, the eternal mysteries. Baseball's eternal mystery for sure. And, you know, I was reading a story, you know, about Reyes earlier, in the, you know, like just at the end of the year, saying, you know, the Cubs love him. He's great in the clubhouse. And I was kind of laughing because what we heard, you know, kind of as he went out the door with Cleveland is that maybe he wasn't so great in the clubhouse. So, you know, it's weird how, you know, perceptions change as soon as a guy goes to a new team.
Well, it's funny. We wrote those same stories about Framil Reyes a year or two into him being
exactly.
In Cleveland. So, and don't get me wrong, he was great to deal with in terms of the media, and always willing to talk and, you know, never ducked an interview. Good to sort of be around him, but you know, once the clubhouse doors close, that, you know, you got to do things differently too. So, who knows what the deal is there, but you know, we'll see him again next season with the Cubs and you know, maybe we'll figure some things out that way. Guy that we probably won't see, next season, when the Guardians take on the Phillies, could be Bryce Harper. All depends on the severity of his elbow injury and the surgery that he's going to have here. He's going to have UCL surgery, elbow reconstruction, sort of similar to what Shohei Ohtani had a few years ago, where he came back the following year and he was able to hit, but he didn't pitch that year. That was, you know, this could be a year where Bryce Harper is just the DH. And, like you were saying before, Hoynsey, the Phillies gotta be real happy that there's a universal DH now.
Oh my goodness. Think of the contract they signed him to, what, a $300 million contract for Harper. And when he was a free agent, and now, you know, even this past season, you know, he hurt his elbow early in the season on a throw from the outfield, but he was still able to DH. Then he misses time with a broken thumb. He gets hit by a pitch, but he's still able to come back and DH and you know, lead them or help them reach the World Series with his bat. And you know, the DH has certainly played a big role with Harper and the Phillies' success this year. And even with a guy like Pujols, Joe.
Right. Yeah. That's the other thing. The Phillies and the Cardinals probably impacted the most among National League teams by the new DH rule, because like you said, you know, we wouldn't have seen Albert Pujols' 700th home run had there not been a universal DH. And I think it's good for baseball. It's certainly good for those two franchises and what they were able to get out of that position this year. You know, the Guardians with the DH this past season, once Reyes was moved to Chicago, they were able to move that position around and rotate guys through. You didn't necessarily have the traditional heavy hitting right-handed power hitting bat or whatever in that DH spot, but you were able to give Jose Ramirez some days off of his feet and rest him and extend him. And you know, when a guy needed a break or a day, Tito was able to rotate that DH spot through. So there's different ways to use it. I think the Guardians, though, if they had their druthers about it, they would probably prefer to have a guy who's productive and an everyday or day-to-day slugger in that position.
Yeah, well, that was, Reyes should have been that guy, and he was that guy right up until this year when he stopped being that guy. And, they missed that in the lineup. Obviously, that's why they finished 29th in home runs. But, I like what Francona said when we talked to him after he won the Manager of the Year for the third time. He said that, going into September, he was a little worried because the team was so young that a lot of these guys had never played, 162 games. He never played through September because the minor league season always ends, halfway mm-hmm. through September. Right. And he was able to use the DH, to rest those guys, to, kind of rotate guys through there to give them a day off now and then. And it worked out for him. And, that was a good strategy.
Yeah, it really was a season of just like the perfect storm of things coming together. And I don't know, I was having a conversation here actually with my son the other day, and talking about, what do you expect the Guardians to do next year? And, are they going to win the division next year and this and that? And I said, it's so hard to determine and predict. And boy, you talk about how our season win total predictions were always so, all over the map and everything, and wrong this year. I just think it's hard to find lightning in a bottle like the Guardians did this past season. And yeah, everything was so unexpected. It would not be out of the realm of possibilities for regression this next year with some of these young players. And, you got to be ready and sort of anticipate that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point because, they don't really have a track record. I mean, they have like you said, 1 year. Is Will Brennan going to come up out of nowhere and hit 357? Is Jimenez going to hit 297 with 17 home runs again? Is Oscar Gonzalez going to hit 296? Is Kwan going to hit 298? You can just go down the list. I mean, They set the bar really high for themselves. And even if they regress a little bit, Joe, they're still, if you hit 285 instead of 298, it's still a pretty good season. But, I think you're right. We've got to be prepared for that.
Right. They can have a guy or two regress to 285, but they can't have all of those guys regress to 285. I think that would, if there's a month of struggle for each one of them, then there could be an issue there. Let's shift gears here, talk about a couple of awards. Voting for the all MLB teams ended this past week. The teams will be revealed on December 5th. That's when Jose Ramirez, Andrés Giménez, Shane Bieber, Emmanuel Clase all have a chance to be named to the first or second team. I think, we were talking before we started recording here. The field at third base is about as deep and as talented as any position. I think if Jose Ramirez makes it at third base for first or second team, that's going to be a pretty special accomplishment.
Oh, my goodness, Joe. Yeah, you're right. I mean, just, look at the names. Machado, Ramirez, Devers, Bregman, Arenado, Chapman. I mean, That's a deep position, and all those guys very talented, very good hitters, good defenders. So I could see where Jose might get lost in the shuffle there. Hopefully he doesn't. he did drive in 126 runs, you know, the second most in the American League, and you can't overlook that.
Yeah, led the league in doubles as well. I think, you know, Ramirez. I think Machado's probably the favorite to be the first team pick, but you could definitely see Ramirez getting in as a second team candidate there as well. Comeback Player of the Year was announced last night in the National League and in the American League. Justin Verlander, again, winning the Comeback Player of the Year award. Certainly Josh Naylor, a guy that deserves some consideration for that honor. But Verlander wins his Cy Young after having not pitched for the majority of two seasons. I think probably a pretty deserving win for Verlander there.
Yeah, definitely. No question about that. Verlander, I mean, just amazing, you know, 39 years old, comes back, wins the Cy Young, wins the Comeback Player of the Year, and he, helps the Astros win the World Series. I mean, you know, if you're writing a story, Joe, his next step is to ride off into the sunset, but he still plans on playing. He wants to pitch, what, until he's 45? So oh, wow. we could see this movie again.
He wants to be Tom Brady, huh? he's rumored to be being courted by the Mets and by the Astros, or not the Astros, the Rangers. So there's possibilities there that, you know, I heard the Rangers are looking at Jacob deGrom and Justin Verlander. They could all of a sudden wake up one morning and have the most dominant rotation in baseball.
Yeah, you know, DeGrom kind of, he scares me, Joe. I mean, you know, there's no question about his talent, his dominance when he's on the mound. But, I mean, how often is he hurt? You know, I mean, how do you pay a guy, you know, as much as he's going to get when you don't know what you're getting from, you know, how many starts you're getting from the guy?
Yeah, I think that's the big question is, you know, what is one start worth in terms of dollars and in cents? Because he's not going to be a guy who's going to make 30 starts in a year. He's proven that over the course of his career. So very interesting to keep track of and follow where the free agents are sort of lining up. But again, like we said at the top, they're all waiting for Aaron Judge to make a move to see where he winds up. Finally, as we get into the holiday, and you know, there's the potential there for some. You know, okay, Thanksgiving, all the love with your family and everybody's at the table and the happy scene and all that. But, you know, there could be some fights. There could be some controversies and some rough topics of conversation. And,
politics comes up.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if politics was the reason why they were fighting down in Venezuela, but I know that former Cleveland infielder as Drubal Cabrera got himself in some hot water. We've seen the video of Cabrera in the Venezuelan league, and he sort of ignited a brawl when he started a fight with Carlos Castro, and Castro had hit a home run and was celebrating, and Cabrera just sort of ran up and decked him and emptied the benches, and huge fight, huge brawl started. The video is pretty jarring to see Cabrera, because Cabrera, you know, not necessarily the kind of guy you would expect to be starting fights. But that was the case here in this Venezuelan league. You know, Thanksgiving holiday, we try to avoid starting fights, but you know, what did you see from that video, Hoynesy?
Yeah, I was stunned like you, Joe. I know, Cabrera's one of my favorite guys. He was always like soft-spoken. I remember him having his kid in the locker room. Kid had great hands, good swing. You know, he's always, you know, bouncing around the clubhouse. And this guy, Castro, hits his third home run of the night. And then just, you know, he's going down to first base right in front of Cabrera's team, their dugout, flips a bat, and they almost, the players were coming out of the dugout even as he flipped the bat. Then, you know, as Drubal's playing first base, this guy rounds first base, Ken Cabrera clotheslines the guy. It's like Night Train Lane clotheslined him, you know? It's like an E. Rich Barnes clothesline from old school. I'm going old school now. But and a huge brawl started. And, you know, as Drubal might get suspended for the rest of the season in a winter ball season. He didn't play in the big leagues. I don't know if he was just, you know, trying to get back to the big leagues. But, you know, this can't help his cause, I don't think.
No, if he's looking for a spot on somebody's Turkey Bowl team, certainly the clothesline would help. We've seen enough of those. But, no, again, you know, you never like to see that. But with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up and, you know, everything, emotions are going to be running high. We can certainly understand why somebody would want to fight. So take that as a lesson into your family gathering for the rest of this week. Take it as a tip.
Yeah, no bat flips. No bat flips, Joe.
No bat flips, just turkey legs. keep it strictly to that. Hoynsie, have a great Thanksgiving holiday. We're off the rest of the week. We'll be back on Monday. We'll check in with you then here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.